Welcome to the Cal Bonus Report on Wessex Wire Radio. I'm Chris Aconis.
And I'm Heath Cow.
And we want to thank all of you for tuning in to listen to our podcast.
We actually have another special guest on this week, which is a returning special guest, Ian McLaughlin. Want to introduce yourself?
What's up, guys?
Ian was on an earlier podcast in which we recapped the last round of the NFL playoffs. He is undisputedly the best player on the Knights boys varsity basketball team.
I beg to differ.
I don't care about what you bet.
Happen to be he's averaging more points per game than he is.
Okay.
He went scoreless yesterday.
How are you doing on the glass?
I think I'm averaging a similar amount of rebounds as Ian.
Heath, we lost by 28. Don't talk about any of our stats.
Okay, well, I am averaging more points, assists, and blocks than you.
Still steals, soft.
Steals is probably close, and then rebounds probably close.
I think I probably have the edge in steals and rebounds.
I don't know. Steals, I
guess. No, yeah, it's close. Field goal percentage, I blow you out of the water. I take like 4 shots a game.
Granted, you went 0 for 4 yesterday.
I went 0 for 2.
Well,
it's important to consider the larger body of work. You can't just go off one game.
It's a fair point, but if we're going off the larger body of work, I am averaging more points per game than he is.
Oh, okay. But
we'll see when I'm first team All-State and you merely get like honorable mention.
Third team.
Yeah, I doubt it. I doubt you're going to
give me some credit here.
I don't think
my 8 points per game, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists should garner a third team
All-State selection. Heath, your massive ego is bordering on a personality disorder. Let's just move on to a Super Bowl recap.
That was harsh, but all right, let's get to the Super Bowl.
I'm a harsh person.
You are.
Yeah. It's probably because I didn't have much friends when I was younger. So that's anyway.
Unfortunate for you.
Anyway, so the Super Bowl was last Sunday, and Ian's Philadelphia Eagles managed to eke out the dub against the hapless New England Patriots.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Indeed.
I think that's a horrible descriptive of the most dominant franchise of our lifetime, the New England Patriots, Chris.
Well, I mean, if you want to keep living in the past, you're more than welcome to. The fact is they lost last Sunday.
I happen to think of the present and the future as a real optimist would and think that the Patriots will be winning more Super Bowls in the future than the Eagles will.
You think Gronk will be back?
I don't know, but I know my favorite player, Julian Edelman, will be back.
That starts the first question here. Is the Patriots run over?
No, they're not. Similar to the San Antonio Spurs in NBA basketball, the run will never be over when you have a coach as great as Greg Popovich or William Belichick.
Okay, don't even compare Popovich and Belichick. Popovich is, like, respected and admired, where Belichick has probably cheated in numerous important occasions throughout his career.
All right, Chris. Well, he's also the most wildly successful football coach of all time, by far.
I don't know about that.
So Brady's age doesn't concern you at all?
Yeah, he's in his 40s.
Has it slowed him down yet?
Well, I just think back to about 4 years ago when Peyton Manning had an MVP season, threw for a record amount of touchdowns, and then a year later he just fell off a cliff.
Yeah, he also had a neck that was kind of falling off his body. I
mean, Brady's one hit away from being in the same position.
I don't know. Tom Brady's neck's looking pretty nice.
Have you been staring at his neck?
I stare at necks. Is there something weird with that, Ian?
Seems
to each his own.
It seems kind of presumptuous for you to just like make assumptions about Tom Brady's physical health, given that you have not examined him and you do not possess a medical degree.
I possess 3 medical degrees.
That's a lie. You're still in high school.
Quite frequently you're not a doctor.
It's one of your most well.
I'm a dentist.
Known sayings.
Some people call him not a doctor, but I'm a dentist. I went to dentistry school.
Okay, but his teeth don't affect his ability to play football. His arms.
He has nice teeth, though.
Okay. Granted.
And by the way, can we just get to this whole thing that was swirling around with the Tom Brady kissing his kid and dad on the lips?
Oh, I was going to bring that up.
That's
quite weird.
I don't think it's that weird.
You kiss your dad on the lips?
That's
information I'm not going to say here on the Cal Bonus Report, but
anything other than no is highly concerning.
I might kiss my dad on the lips. Maybe. There's a chance. But I'm not going to talk about that. This is school, and that'd be weird. That'd be weird to talk about.
Well, if it's weird to talk about in school, why would you do it outside of school?
I've heard you talk about some weird stuff in school.
You're a very unusual person.
I guess you could say that. I'm a pretty weird person. But then again, why are people bashing Brady? If he wants to kiss his dad on the lips, let him kiss his dad on the lips.
If he throws for 500 yards every Super Bowl, he can kiss whoever he wants on the lips.
That's even with a loss, that's the most impressive Super Bowl performance in NFL history.
I'm just waiting for the game he kisses Belichick on the lips.
That's after the
That's
next
must
Super
watch
Bowl.
Television right there.
I think that's coming soon.
That's must watch television.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, Kevin Hart drunkenly trying to get up on stage and trying to be on NFL Network was must watch television. But Tom Brady trying to kiss Bill
Belichick.
Did you
see last night on Outside the NBA on TNT?
It's Inside the NBA.
No, there's a a spinoff called Outside the NBA, in which they discuss non-basketball topics. The crew, Ernie Johnson, Charles Barkley, and company.
Kenny the Jet Smith and Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, I didn't feel like saying all those syllables. They were playing curling, and I believe it was Kenny the Jet Smith that was pushing the rock, and went about 2 feet. They were sweeping furiously, and then it just stopped, and he was roasted for his lack of curling prowess.
I did not see that, although I am a fan of that foursome that you've
mentioned. It's easily the most entertaining pregame and postgame show on television.
They outclass ESPN's NBA pregame and postgame.
I'd say it's the most entertaining sports show right now.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, other than the Kyle Bonus Report.
This is a podcast. Yeah, don't credit yourself like that. Television shows.
All right, well, I'm just saying.
We'll be on TV soon enough, Heath.
After
we're
just college, buying our time. After college?
After college, without doubt.
Yeah, we've already had some scouts talk to us. But, no, I love that foursome. I think they're great. They're hilarious, and they got that chemistry that us co-stars in the Cup Bonus really have.
Yeah.
Even some co-stars have. Ian doesn't have it, but Max Ruvo certainly had it.
That's a questionable statement.
Well, I mean, if you didn't think Ian was any good, why'd you invite him back?
I didn't invite him. You invited him.
No, I didn't.
Well, this is awkward.
I don't know who invited him. He just kind of showed up.
I don't believe he just showed up. How would he know to come here at this time?
Well, moving on, the NBA trade deadline was yesterday at 3 p.m., actually the first time in many years that it was before the All-Star break. And the Cleveland Cavaliers, headed by rookie GM Kobe Altman, made some questionable moves. Chris, Ian, what's your take?
Well, I'm sorry, Ian, you're a guest. You will go first.
Thank you. My first question that I want to pose, and I previously got roasted for saying yesterday at my lunch table, was who do you think is better fit for the Cleveland Cavaliers, Jordan Clarkson or Isaiah Thomas?
I say Jordan Clarkson.
I agree.
Well, I think Isaiah Thomas, as far as starting point guards go, is probably one of the worst defensive players I've ever seen. And regardless of how good he may or may not be at scoring, clearly he's not an all-around player, and he's not the kind of person you need to compliment LeBron James if you want to win a championship.
I know, but let's not forget about Larry Nance. He's a solid power forward. He could play defense, and he could jump out of the building.
Well, defensively speaking, he can switch. And so when you play a team like the Houston Rockets, Boston Celtics, or Golden State Warriors, who they will most likely meet in the NBA Finals, you're going to have to switch constantly.
I don't know if they're going to most likely meet the Golden State Warriors.
You wouldn't consider the Warriors the favorite in the West right now.
Oh, they're without a doubt the favorite.
Okay, so then you'd most likely meet them.
But I might say that it's a 45% chance the Warriors make the Finals, in which that case, according to probabilities and statistics, there's a likelihood that they won't be making the Finals.
It's important to note that...
Are they the favorite in the West?
Yes.
Then that means they'd most likely play them in the Finals.
More likely than any other team.
I'd say from a pop probability standpoint, it's more of a plurality than a majority. I think the Rockets have a pretty good shot. I mean, when Chris Paul and James Harden are both healthy, the team has been almost unstoppable.
And Clint Capella.
And Clint Capella, of course. We can't forget about Clint Capella.
Yeah, and Eric Gordon.
Well, they have a great. You need to have a great supporting cast in order to make it to the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
that goes without saying.
That's fair enough, and you know, but I think we're all forgetting about the Spurs. I mean, Rudy Gay and Kawhi Leonard have been out for a long time now. When they come back and to the 3-seed Spurs, they're going to be a formidable opponent.
Formidable. We'll agree to disagree there. So, anyway, it's not only Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance. They also pulled in... Who else did they pull in?
Yesterday, they got Rodney Hood from the Utah Jazz, and they got George Hill from the Sacramento Kings. And they also got a couple of relevant picks. But they gave up Jay Crowder, Derrick Rose, Isaiah Thomas, Channing Frye, and Dwayne Wade to the Miami Heat.
And Iman Shumpert.
And Iman Shumpert. I mean,
lot of irrelevant players, quite frankly.
I mean, Iman Shumpert and Channing Frye are about as irrelevant as it gets.
Did you see the Channing Frye Instagram post?
I did. And Channing Frye's pretty funny.
Pretty comic. He also has a podcast. Not as relevant as the Cal Bonus Report.
On Richard Jefferson, correct?
It's still on.
Yeah.
Just no one watches it anymore.
Back
or
small
listens.
Forward on the Denver Nuggets, Richard Jefferson, who played on my favorite team, the 2006 New Jersey Nets. But, crazy day in trades. I don't know if there are any other big ones I forgot to mention.
It's important. Let's go back to Richard Jefferson for a second. That's a sentence no one has said in 10 years.
Yeah, Dick Jefferson's a good basketball player.
Yeah, yeah. Dick Jefferson is indeed a good basketball player.
Although I don't know if many people call him Dick.
Yeah, in today's social climate, I don't think that's the preferred nickname.
Yeah, but even back in 2001 when he was drafted out of Arizona into the New Jersey Nets, I don't think anyone was calling him Dick.
Well, so why'd you call him Dick?
don't know. I think it's fun, or, you know,
well, what about
somewhat
it is fun?
Comical to be calling people by their nicknames. I don't know.
Kind of surprises me that you, of all people, would find saying dick fun.
Right, Ian, let's stay on task here.
Okay, back to Richard Jefferson. What I wanted to say is you brought up his time with the Nets. And it's important to note that when he was with the Nets, he was like putting up like 20 a night. It was pretty solid basketball. But then as soon as he left the Nets and he went to, I forget where, was it Milwaukee he went to?
He played on a few other teams.
No, I mean like when he first left the Nets. What was the first team he played for after?
I believe it was Milwaukee.
I'm pretty sure it was Milwaukee.
Then he had a stint with San Antonio.
And he just completely fell off a cliff. He went from averaging like 20 a night and being
a lot of his you know, ability came from his pure athleticism, and he lost a lot of that when he got older.
Also, playing with Jason Kidd will make anyone look better. Yeah.
Jason Kidd and Vince Carter is quite a group to play with.
I mean, yeah, Vince Carter is my favorite player of all time. A favorite professional of all time. Of course, there are many Eastern Washington basketball players that are favorites of mine.
Can we just go over to Eastern Washington for a second? I'm trying to understand what your infatuation is with them. They're from Cheney, Washington, a municipality you've never been to.
I will be to Cheney one day, though.
Okay, but why Eastern Washington?
I'll give you the backstory, everyone.
Please.
Let's go back to ninth grade. And a couple of my buddies and I are fans of college basketball. And one of my friends, whose nickname is Chester, he was looking on some box scores and some scores, and he was like, you know what, we should really like a random team. So we just find out that there's a guy in Eastern Washington averaging about 24 or 23 points per game, leading the nation in scoring. We watch one Eastern Washington game against, I believe it was Idaho. They went like 15 for 19 from three that game, and we're like, we're liking this team. They went on to make a run, made the tournament for the first time in like a decade, almost beat Georgetown, and we've been biggest fans ever since. So me and a few of my buddies are huge Eastern Washington fans, where we watch their games in the Big Sky Conference. We're hoping they make the tournament this year, shock the world. I mean, and college basketball is wide open. Wide open. I know you like college basketball, Ian.
I'm a huge fan of college basketball.
I'd argue it's more entertaining than the NBA.
I would agree with that
I'd
statement.
Argue that you're stupid for saying that.
Really? Please.
Am I stupid for agreeing with him?
Yes. Well, it's not more entertaining until March.
I think it's kind of strange that you're calling him stupid, because he absolutely bodies you academically.
I mean, his effort into schoolwork would also cause the blame.
Heath, I heard senior services, you're kind of treading the senior service
line. It's
in
jeopardy, is it not?
I might need to put a little effort into getting my GPA a little bit up this third marking period, but let's get off my academic struggles at the moment and stick on task here, where we talk about college basketball. So that's a seamless transition right there.
Okay, so why do you think that the NBA is more... I'm not saying, obviously, the NBA is higher quality in terms of, like, the overall talent level, but from an entertainment perspective, I mean, college basketball, you never know what's going to happen. The NBA, you have a couple teams that
are contending
for a championship, and then everyone else is just sort of there.
I know, to me, I find it fascinating to watch some of the most talented basketball players in the world facing off against each other, and specifically in the playoffs where they're really trying on defense, unlike the regular season. But college basketball, I love. Don't discredit that.
I mean, would you rather watch March Madness or the NBA Finals? For me, it's March Madness any day of the week.
Well, by March Madness, do you mean like round of 16 down to the like Final Four, or like starting?
Whatever is your favorite week or two-day period.
See, you can't compare them, because March Madness, there's so many more games.
Exactly. Than the NBA playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, it's different. If my favorite team is in the NBA Finals, because I'm a bigger Nets fan than any college basketball team.
I would
team.
Agree, yeah.
Okay, reasonable.
Then, well, even though the Nets are never making finals, then of course the NBA Finals.
That will never happen.
But in all, yeah, I'd rather watch all of March Madness. I think I'd rather you take away the NBA Finals from me than you did
play
March
Madness. I'd agree, and I'd rather watch Duke play UNC like last night than Golden State play Cleveland.
I disagree. I completely disagree.
Let's agree to disagree.
Mm, well, we're agreeing and disagreeing.
I think March Madness is probably the only competition where the first round is arguably more entertaining than like the last couple of rounds, just because there are so many like different teams going on, and like there's like four games going on at one time from like 12 to like midnight. So like at any time you could switch to once at least one of the four games will be like neck and neck, and there's always something entertaining going on.
So by the way, when March Madness starts in school this year, because it typically starts around 12 around noon.
Yeah.
if you think I'm not somewhat live streaming this on my Chromebook or cell phone, you're out of your goddamn mind.
Well, that goes without saying.
I want to find out how you do it in gym. I'm very interested to see how you find ways to live stream.
Oh, it's simple. I don't take the easy 5 points in gym. Don't get dressed. Sit on the side. Sit on my butt. Live stream it illegally on my phone. Unless there's a live stream on YouTube, which sometimes people have. And I'll watch. Because I'm not missing a game. I'm going perfect this year. I believe the odds are 1 in 9 quadrillion to get a perfect bracket. And it's happening.
You're that 1 in 9.
I am that 1 in 9. I am great at predicting games. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. While you two scramble and talk about something, I'm going to look up the odds of getting a perfect bracket. So why don't you keep talking there?
Well, it's obviously something like 1 in 4 quadrillion or something like that. Yeah. You might want to hurry up on that, given that the bell's about to ring and you and I both have lab.
Screw lab and the feds.
His senior service is in jeopardy for a reason, Chris. Oh,
huge jeopardy. I might just walk out of the podcast if he refuses to vacate.
I'd just like to tell the viewers that due to the Eagles winning the Super Bowl and beating the New England Patriots,
all right, Ian, shut up.
Me and Heath's non-monetary wager of me getting a chance to slap him will come to fruition.
On a future episode of Cowboy Support.
It will be recorded.
It will be filmed, so you will get the visual
element. And it will be a hard slap.
Right. Yes. On a lighter note, the odds of getting a perfect bracket are 1 in, I'm just going to ramble off the numbers, 9223372036854775808. Or 1 in 9.2 quintillion, give or take 223 quadrillion. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, obviously those odds go down a lot if you take out the fact that a 16 is never being a 1. But if there's ever going to be a year, this might be the year 16 takes down 1. Well, that was the bell, and Chris and I have 5 minutes to get to lab, so I'll wrap this up. I'm telling you this year, watch it. New Orleans is taking down Villanova this first round. It's going to happen. It's going
to
happen.
All right, I'm going to hold you to that.
All right, that's fair.
All right, that's it for the Cal Bonus Support. We'll be back next Monday with an all-new episode.
Can't wait. We're going to be talking about the Winter Olympics with super fans Matthew Russo and Alexander Frankie. So we'll see you there. Ian, you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
All right, see you. All right.